You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Anthony Kashevitz, and this is our latest look at the Cleveland Indians. I'm joined by Jordan Bastian. JB, we've got to start off, first of all, and acknowledge it was just a big loss for baseball. Yordano Ventura of the Royals dies tragically in the Dominican in a car accident early Sunday, and just 60 miles away from there, Andy Marte also passes away in a separate car accident. And boy, I mean, two big gut punches to baseball just months after the Jose Fernandez, his untimely passing in Miami. And, you know, I want to get your thoughts, first of all, on Ventura. You've seen him quite a bit, you know, opposing Indians. His first start was against the Indians. I still remember that 101.9 mile an hour fastball he uncorked with Yan Gomes, and Gomes ripped it for a single. So, you know, Ventura, he had great talent, and, you know, we saw quite a bit of him against the Indians.
Yeah, and, you know, I think from the opponent fan base's perspective, there were times where, you know, people thought he was a little too fiery, or, you know, you heard the word punk get thrown around, which gets thrown around, you know, a lot, you know, when you're the opposition. But when you talk to anyone who was around him, that all came from that just ultimate ultra-competitiveness that he had, and sort of that chip on his shoulder that I think guys like him have to have when they come from where they come from and when they have to overcome, you know, what they have to realize the type of dream that he did. You know, a guy that was, you know, a runt, so to speak, you know, a guy who turned himself into someone who could have maybe – you know, gone down a Pedro Martinez-type career path, you know, if he would have put it all together. And, you know, I think as you wrote so well in your column, we can talk all we want about potential met or not met on the field, both Yordano Ventura and Andy Marte. You know, I mean, this is just two lives that are over way too soon. And I think with Yordano Ventura, so young, so much potential still in the game. And when you saw the reaction from his teammates and others from the Dominican Republic and around baseball, you know, you saw that this was a guy who, you know, had a zest for life and was very competitive. And there was not a bad thing being said about him in light of it.
Yeah, and I know your time covering the Indians predates the Andy Marte era. Actually, my time covering the Indians was the Andy Marte era. came back to cover them full-time in 2006, which doubled as Marte's first season with the Indians, or first season in their organization. And he was around on and off through 2010. And I got to tell you, just honestly, legitimately, one of the nicest guys I had the pleasure of covering in that clubhouse. And, you know, he took a lot of gripe from fans, of course, because he was billed as the third baseman of the future. And it was a major trade they made for him when they sent Coco Crisp to the Red Sox. And Marte came over. He had actually first been with the Braves. He was traded twice that offseason, was actually the number one prospect in three different systems that winter before 2006, and just never worked out for Andy Marte. Good defender, just the bat did not come along as hoped, but fantastic guy. And I know, you know, in Cleveland, maybe his greatest legacy was the one inning he pitched against the Yankees in 2010 when Manny Acta had to bring him in out of desperation. He struck out Nick Swisher, and we asked him after the game, "What'd you throw, Swisher?" He said, "That was a fastball. They were all fastballs." I just really enjoyed him. He always had such a good humor, and you know, just a nice guy to be around. And always enjoyed catching up with him in subsequent spring training camps. You know, he's with the Pirates. He was with the Diamondbacks for a couple of years in their camp, and we'd catch up about what was going on with the Indians and just his career. And I'd ask him, "So you got any shot here?" And he'd kind of laugh and say, "Not really." he had a good sense of humor about everything, and really sad for him and his family. I know he had a son, you know, when he was with the Indians. I don't know if he had children after his Indians career, but just feel for those people. And it's just it was tough news to get, and then to get the Ventura news on top of that, just a double whammy. Just another tough day for baseball, but we'll press on. And in happier news, this is Tribe Fest later this week, Jordan, and it sounds like it's going to be very well attended, not just by the fans, but by the roster. Some big names coming back to town to be there for this event, including the new big name, Edwin Encarnacion. But what's on tap this week for Tribe Fest?
Yeah, I mean, they sold out of the general admission tickets. There's still a lot of information on the, you know, getting autograph sessions and things like that on the website. So it should be, you know, a good location. Should be better locale than last year when everyone was really cramped in a different hotel. And this year they kind of took that feedback, moved to the Intercontinental, which should be a better space, better parking. And the one cool thing about the way they've done Tribe Fest the last few years, bringing it to downtown Cleveland and having it on the one weekend, is they get way more participation from the active MLB roster. So, I mean, you're going to see the majority of the team there, you know, with a few exceptions, you know, including, as you mentioned, Encarnacion, Brantley, Miller, Kluber, Lindor. I mean, a lot of the names of players that fans want to see are going to be there. And so that's really cool. So they'll have that this week because there is so many players in town. They're going to be getting together for sort of a little mini camp this week, kind of work out together ahead of spring training. I think they're going to do that in the middle of the week. And then the Indians, beyond Tribe Fest, on Saturday will have a town hall event, which they do every year. I think this year, again, they're going to have some players meet with fans and kind of take questions. And that's always a cool event and kind of signals the last thing here in Cleveland before we start shifting our attention towards spring training. The truck will be being packed up soon, and we'll be heading out. I know I head out February 11th. You know, so that's coming quick here. My wife's birthday is February 19th, so I haven't had a birthday with my wife in all these years, so I'm looking forward to doing a birthday celebration before I leave. So she gets to put up with, you know, the baseball writer lifestyle. But every year,
Baseball wives are troopers. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
They put up with quite a bit, and that's an especially big thing to put up with, the husband absent for every birthday. But then she doesn't age, technically, right? So that's
right, exactly.
Good for her. You know, that's a great transition because I wanted to ask you about the spring training invites and not a whole lot going on transaction wire, of course, Indians, but some interesting names are going to be there in that clubhouse, in the big league clubhouse. And I remember a couple weeks back, JB, right here on this podcast, we asked you for a bold prediction, and you said Brad Zimmer will make the big league roster. I don't think you necessarily felt adamant about this bold prediction, but you did make it, and I'm going to hold you to it. And the Zimmer is among the more interesting names from the system who have been given the big league invite.
Yes, I believe I threw a number of caveats on that bold prediction. but, yeah, he's going to be in camp. And last year it was kind of notable that he and Clint Frazier, who's now with the Yankees, one of the guys traded in the Andrew Miller deal, it was notable that neither one of them were invited to camp. Like, that almost was a story in itself that they weren't a part of it. But the reason a year ago was that they just looked at the landscape of the big league team and the options they had in camp, and they didn't feel that either had a realistic shot at making the team. So they felt like it didn't make sense. Now we're 1 year later. Brad Zimmer is going to get his first taste of major league camp, along with Greg Allen, who was traded to the Brewers and then not traded to the Brewers when Jonathan Lucroy nixed that deal. And another interesting guy coming to camp will be Yandy Diaz. Of those three, I think Diaz would have the most realistic shot at making the opening day roster, especially depending on what happens with Brantley, you know, as they monitor his situation and how likely it is that he cracks the opening day roster, given his health status. So it's going to be exciting to get a long extended look for Brad Zimmer, both for the Indians to be able to see him on a regular basis, and also, you know, for those of us that cover the team to get to watch this guy up close, because, you know, we've sort of been monitoring him from afar for the last several years. It'll be nice to kind of see what he's been working on. I know they made some big adjustments with the swing last year, and they're hoping to help him cut down the strikeout rate and things like that. So Greg Allen is an interesting guy too. You know, a lot of speed from him, a guy that can play center field, a guy who could be rising fast and impacting the club soon too. I don't really think it's realistic that he would make the team, but, you know, given some of the needs in the organization at the big league level, and given his skill set, you know, he's a guy to really keep an eye on this year.
No, definitely. I heard some things about Allen earlier this winter from someone who would know. And certainly the speed jumps off the charts or off the stat sheet just because of, again, the big league need, as you mentioned, especially as the changing complexion of that outfield with Rajay Davis. Certainly a name to watch. They're all names to watch. We'll see how they fare in Goodyear, Arizona. We'll see if Jordan can get there on time and, you know, get out of town before his wife gets mad at him for missing her birthday. So
every year.
I want to thank That's right. I want to thank him for joining us. Thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.